Deacon and Dad.
Okay, today we actually have to say that we're recording this on September 11th, 2016.
Very sad day for New York.
Yeah. But one of the things that I want to handle a little differently is that both of us were in New York when the towers went down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were in different locations, and I just realized in that 15 years, you and I have never really talked about our reactions to that day.
I guess we haven't.
No, it's just one of those assumptions as a New Yorker. We went through it all together. We handled it.
Right.
But we never really talked about it. So I really wanted to get your impressions of that day and how you felt over the last 15 years.
Interesting. I hadn't even really thought about it that way. I mean, what my impressions were. I guess it's still kind of mixed in with everything that I've learned since then.
Okay, so what is...
You know, how much... And actually, that's a really hard question.
No. I can tell you that for me, I believe, I mean, and I don't toss this term around lightly because I've studied it, but I was suffering from PTSD for a couple of years after. In fact, I could not cross the Brooklyn Bridge, and I could not go near the World Trade Center for 2 years.
I still haven't been down there.
Yeah.
Since then, I haven't visited the memorial. I haven't been down there.
I haven't done the memorial. I've had to go to Jersey several times. So I had to take the PATH train at the World Trade Center. But it's like you go in, you go down the stairs, you get on the train, and I don't see all the rest of the stuff because it was all that construction. And then this is a sort of an advantage of my vision being so poor now that I can't quite see as much, and that's a blessing in disguise. But I really had a tough time. I had some friends come in from out of town like a few days after it had happened,
right,
and they wanted to go down to see the World Trade Center, and I'm like, no. But I took them down, and I can't remember the name of the church, but it's like a block or two from the World Trade Center.
Yeah, small church.
Yeah, it's a small church, and they actually used it as a staging area for the first responders, so it was a very pivotal point. But you could stand, they had a little balcony around the side of the church, and you could look down and you could see what was World Trade Center.
Right.
And my friends were all sort of looking at it, and I took one look and just turned around, and I don't think I cried, but I did when I was like, let's get out of here. And then, because there was no traffic, we started walking back uptown to Chambers Street, and it started raining. And it was a good thing, because it also sort of, you could smell all the material that had been burned there. There was still some smoke.
Right.
So that sort of helped cleanse me to get me away from there. But like I said, it was easily 2 years before I could go anywhere near downtown.
Well, I guess it has affected me. I haven't been down there since.
Okay.
I've not been down there once. Not once. And I have the luxury to, I can say that I have the luxury not to.
Yeah. Well, we live in Brooklyn. So
yeah. Right. I want to go to Manhattan anyway.
Yeah.
But it's, and we were actually talked about, you know, I think it's time to go down there. I want to see the museum and the memorial.
Well, you know, I don't. And part of it was because at the time I was working at the New York Times. And so we had all these people going back and forth all the time. And in fact, the day of, I was stuck here. I couldn't get to the office because the train stopped running. They weren't letting anybody go from Brooklyn to Manhattan.
Right.
So I had to go down to, I worked out of the Brooklyn Bureau for a couple of days before they but I never went down there.
Yeah.
So I guess the other question to you is, where were you when it happened? And
I was at the office, and we were, actually it was a Catch-A-Fire meeting back when we were doing Catch-A-Fire.
Okay.
And then,
now you got to describe what that was for people who don't know.
Catch-A-Fire was an online magazine that featured art from people of color and from around the world.
One of the very first, which is 15 years ago at least.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, it started a few years before that. So it was popular back at the time.
Yeah, it was before anybody knew about the internet, and there weren't very many.
Yeah, weren't a lot of us online.
Right.
Weren't a lot of us, so we were trying to put as many of us online as possible.
Right. Okay, so you guys were doing that.
We were just having a meeting, and then somebody actually had Howard Stern on. Alicia, she used to listen to Howard Stern, and they said the World Trade Center just got hit. So we had a TV, we immediately turned the TV on and saw what was going on. And Shannon, she immediately said, it's terrorism. I was like, what? You know, it's hard, you know, it's just hard to fathom.
Right.
An airplane running into a building.
Yeah.
When the second one hit, we were like, yeah, you're right. That was it. So we had to, I remember later on going down to the promenade. I'm looking across the bay or the river at the smoke still billowing from the site. You could see it and you could smell it from Brooklyn. And I remember seeing there were some kind of burnt papers that clearly flew all the way from there in Brooklyn. At the time, I thought I should get that and save it. And then I decided not to.
Again, for our listeners who aren't familiar with New York or with Brooklyn, the promenade runs along the river, and it's sort of an overlook, and Brooklyn's very popular. And from the promenade, you can see Lower Manhattan, you can see the Statue of Liberty. So it's a gorgeous view. So you would be able to you could see the World Trade Center right across the river from the promenade. So did everybody go down?
No, I just walked down there. Yeah.
Okay. Were there other people crowded around down there?
Yeah, it was packed actually. People were just staring. Nobody was saying anything. Just kind of shaking their heads. A lot of people crying. We're just standing there.
Yeah. Well, did you have any? Did you know anybody who was downtown, or?
I knew one person who kind of known as an acquaintance who passed away in the trips, and he worked at a restaurant up top.
Oh, I didn't know that you knew anybody who had actually died.
And then I've met a few people who actually said they made it out.
Yeah, well, I knew several people who made it out. Unfortunately, nobody really that I knew really well died. A couple people had very close calls. My friend Stephen Breyer's wife worked in the building, but she missed her train from Jersey, so she was running late. And so by the time she got out and realized what was going on, of course, there were no phones working. And she had to walk all the way uptown to try to find a phone. And he was, of course, in a panic because they had two small kids, and now he doesn't know where his wife is. He worked at the Times as well, so all he's trying to do is find out where his wife is. Unfortunately, several hours later, she called because she couldn't find a phone that worked.
Right. Wow.
And I had another friend who also worked at the Times. Her husband was a stockbroker and worked in the Deutsche Bank building. But he had just got to work and had just parked his car when the first plane hit. And he just turned around and ran toward the East River and managed to get on one of the ferries that went over to Jersey City. And so I think it was several months before I finally met anybody who had actually lost somebody, and then it was because, you know, it was like three or four people removed, so it wasn't anybody close. So I was really fortunate that nobody I knew got hurt.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But it affected the city, and I think at least America's psyche, and that we're not invincible. Whereas I think that's what has been promoted for a very long time.
Okay, but I never...
we don't feel that way.
No, no, no.
We have this worldview of things.
Right. I don't even think it's a worldview. I think that I remember, you know, everybody sort of has a gallows humor about certain kinds of things to get you through really bad things. Mm-hmm. And I just remember hearing that... you know, that Muslims were the new blacks, that
right.
We could sort of, oh, we could take a deep breath and not have to rest now. And I mean, it's sick, but it was sort of the truth, is that black people have been, you know, accused of all kinds of things throughout American history. And for that brief, really terrible, sad period, suddenly we were not the target, and there were some other people of color who were suspect, and it's still going on, and it's still sort of, it's sad to me, because before that, nobody was paying any attention to Muslims in this country. I mean, it wasn't like, I hate Muslims. Most people didn't know any Muslims.
Yeah, didn't really know anything about them.
Still
don't know anything about them.
Right, but it wasn't on the radar. You know, it wasn't, you know, Muslims, oh God, you know, is that like Seventh-day Adventists, or is that like the Mormons? There's some religion, but I, you know,
it's
not something I had to be afraid of.
It wasn't on the deck of Star Trek.
That's true. Okay.
Speaking of which,
it's an interesting transition. But so this is the 50th anniversary of Star Trek.
Star Trek.
So now, you weren't born when the first Star Trek series was on.
No.
And I suspect that...
I'm a big fan.
I know, because it ran on syndication, and
yes.
I watched it. Both your mothers watched it. So they were all big Star Trek fans. So you got that. It came naturally. And of course I was. So you saw the original,
because
they just
seen
all of them. But what sort of attracted you either to the first one or any of the iterations?
Well, I'm a sci-fi fan, and they were an intelligent sci-fi series. They dealt with social issues and gray areas of social issues. I thought that was great. I mean, that was one of the few shows that had a multicultural cast.
Okay, but at what age did that sort of sink in, aside from just, it's more than... Because, I mean, I came at it as an adult.
Uh-huh.
So I could see some of the stuff, you know, talking about the Vietnam War, about racism, about the role of women. So all those things I approach as adults. I'm just wondering, as you came at it as a child, what age were you when it started making an impact on you, or do you remember?
Impact. I don't remember what age that I was. I knew I was a fan when I started watching Next Generation.
Okay.
That's when I realized, I'm a Star Trek fan.
Okay, all right.
Because I remember those first two episodes of Next Generation. It was the Starpoint.
Right. Farpoint.
Farpoint.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I forgot the full title, but it was something of Farpoint, yeah. But then I knew I was a fan. I watched Next Generation, then Deep Space Nine, then Voyager.
Right.
I think that was the last one.
I never watched Enterprise.
Enterprise. That was the last one.
Enterprise. I must confess that I was a big fan of...
Enterprise didn't last long.
It wasn't that good.
Yeah. No disrespect to the writers on the show.
Yeah.
It's just a different time.
It's a different time, but it was also, to me, it was... I have a thing about Scott Bakula. He has been in everything. And, I mean, this is a guy who's been in multiple shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's starring again in a show. And I'm like, I don't think the guy's that great an actor. What is it about him that he keeps getting these roles?
He's a good TV actor.
Yeah, I say that, TV actor. Right,
you know.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't have to be great to be a TV actor.
But he always seemed to be in all the series. I don't want to take a side off on Scott Bakula, since he was in Star Trek. But he seemed to always be surrounded by really good other characters. And you were more attracted to the other characters in the show than it was to him. I mean, I was thinking of what little I watched of Enterprise, the woman who played the Vulcan.
Right.
That she was sort of an amalgam of Spock and Seven of Nine. And then the engineer who was sort of a combination of Scotty and Bones.
Mm-hmm.
That he wasn't quite, didn't have the Scottish fur, but he was...
All right, well, let's talk about the good stuff.
Okay.
Let's get back to the good stuff.
Okay. So, I must confess, can you pick which one? Which was your favorite of the series?
Well, I think it's a tie between Next Generation and the original.
Okay.
Because they were different.
Yeah.
And they were different times, so it's hard to really compare them, which one was better.
Okay.
I think you can compare the later ones to each other.
Okay.
Because they're in the same time period. But I think the significance of the original series, you just can't deny that.
No. I was a big fan of
it. And also, I learned some really interesting things about that.
Okay.
The reason it started in reruns, or the reason the whole industry has reruns, is because of Lucille Ball.
Oh, yes.
I didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
I had no idea. I thought that was great.
Well,
Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz.
Yeah, they revolutionized the industry. And people forget, and so, they remember I Love Lucy, and they remember Desi being, Lucy!
Yeah.
And not remember that he was one of the most brilliant producers of his time.
It really was.
And that he came up with, and they had hit show after hit show after hit show.
I always remember a Desi Lu production.
And they, you're right, they figured out about the reruns, and that's how you make money in television. But that's great.
Syndication.
So you could go watch, to this day, you can still watch every iteration of Star Trek somewhere.
Star Trek is the second most syndicated show next to Lucille Ball. I learned that from the show.
Oh, I Love Lucy. That's right, because it's been around longer.
It was longer.
One of the first shows on syndication, of course. That makes perfect sense. Longevity. We're still,
still making money from that. From both of them.
Classic shows. Now, from my perspective, I loved the original Star Trek because it came at a time when having a multicultural cast meant something, because we didn't have very many black people on television at all, and then not only to have and have every group representative and all sort of working together, so that was like a breakthrough, so I was happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
And Next Generation, I really liked because sort of was on the longest, and it evolved so that it got to be really good, and I enjoyed that. But my heart was always with Deep Space Nine.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I did not know that.
I felt, no, because it was first of all, head of the commander was black, and they dealt with some religious topics. Yeah. They dealt with again with women.
Yeah.
It's interesting because of the woman with the sort of the parasite inside them. So in some ways it was like transgender, because each one of the hosts, no seriously, you think each one of the hosts was a different sex, but the symbiote was the same symbiote.
Oh right, I forgot.
And we became
about
multiple.
That. Yeah, and they became different, and they actually did deal with that because she changed. Or,
right,
she,
because and then one
they stayed
point,
married.
But his. One of his, when he was a guy,
right.
His wife came through, but at this point he was occupying a woman's body, so that was a whole.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So she stayed with him. Yeah. She stayed with him. Yeah.
So there was.
Forgot about that.
Hey, so I'm just saying that there were a lot of stuff that they dealt with that we can look back on and go like, wow, maybe. So I just really liked Deep Space Nine, and. If you haven't, the last two episodes are just groundbreaking. I mean, and I don't know why that didn't get, I know why it didn't get renewed. They were already canceling it, but they,
so they had to go out the bank then.
Yeah, but the, I don't know if you saw the last two shows, they were doing sort of a, alternate universe, and back in real life in our time, he was a science fiction writer.
Oh,
but
right.
He was black.
Yeah.
And the woman who played his second in command, she was also a science fiction writer, but she went by her initials because women didn't write science fiction. And then he had written this show, this series. About a black spaceship captain.
And the guy
was saying, no, you can't do this. Nobody will believe this. And then, of course, I don't know if you remember. I mean, I'm not a spoiler because it's there. But one of the things that happened is because he was a black man walking around in Harlem, or he was just walking around doing something, and the cops shot him because they thought he shouldn't be there.
Right.
So it was like, oh,
yeah.
And this was, of course, before everybody was talking. I mean, we all knew as black people that we were getting shot for no good reason.
Mm-hmm.
But this was on a network television show.
That's right.
It's like, ooh. And it scared some people because I remember people talking about it. That was so. Why did they have to shoot him?
Now we're seeing it live.
It's a black man and a white girl. You can't walk up and say, hey, I demand my rights.
Not without risking being shot.
Yeah. So, okay.
Right, so Star Trek, in terms of technology. So now from the communicators.
Yeah, okay.
We get the flip phones.
We got the flip phones.
To the iPhone.
I mean, you know, we now have...
to the new iPhone.
We'll get to that. I just want to... There are a couple of things. You know, we're talking about the technology.
All right.
Think about the International Space Station.
Yes.
They keep sending all these... They've had everybody from different worlds. I mean, the Russians sent the original space station up. They've had Canadians. They've had Brits. They've had French.
Japanese,
Americans. I don't think they've had any Chinese on the International Space Station.
But
they're
I'm
trying
not sure.
to build their own. So that was sort of comes out of Star Trek. So this is the International Space Station as opposed to the American or the Russian Space Station. And everybody's cooperating. So that's a thing that came out of it.
The Enterprise, the first shuttle.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, a lot of the NASA scientists these days this generation say they were inspired by Star Trek.
But no, but I just remember when they were actually shooting it, NASA was very involved because Gene Roddenberry went to NASA and said, hey, we want to do some of these things. We want to make sure we get some of this right.
Yes.
So it was, it was a groundbreaking series. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed all the iteration except for Enterprise. It was the only one that I couldn't get into. I tried to watch it. It's like, nah.
Yeah,
they've stretched it too far. They went back too far. Yeah, it didn't work. You had too much.
And the movies were hit or miss.
Yeah,
you know, the first two were really good.
No, that's funny.
The string in the middle ones were okay.
I thought the first one was awful.
First one was bad. Awful. It was bad.
Wrath of Khan and The Search for Spock.
Search for Spock.
And the whales. I love the whales.
I wasn't crazy about that. It was kind of good. I just thought the story was cheesy.
Well, it was cheesy, but it was cheesy because it was supposed to be at a time when you had to look at what was going on. They were doing a parody of the hippies. They were doing a parody of the environmental movement.
Yes, they were.
They were doing... So it was... That one, to me, was a parody. Not so much that... it was cheesy, but it was cheesy in the right sort of way. I just laughed all the way through it. I mean, Scotty picking up the mouse and going, computer. Computer. Like, well, you have to use a keyboard. Oh, how primitive. This is
terrible. Right, now we get to talking to our phones.
Yeah. Now we are talking to our
phones. That's right.
Though I must confess, I've been waiting for the transporter.
Oh yeah, the transporter and the replicator. Those are the only two I really care about.
Yes.
I don't care about the communicators. I don't even care about video conferencing.
We got all that.
I want the transporter. I want the damn replicator. Man.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I hear you. I'm with you there because I don't want to get stuck in traffic. And so that would be nice to be able to just train. And also there are places I want to go.
But the first thing you have to order is Earl Grey hot. That's the first thing. After that, then I'll be traveling all over the place.
You know, but
I don't even like Earl Grey that much.
Well, that's what's funny because sometimes I feel like I'm an inadvertent hipster because I used to travel and I was going to so many British colonies and I would be drinking either beer or tea and I got to like Earl Grey because I love the smell of Earl Grey, and so that was my thing. So I was into Earl Grey before. So, like I said, I sound like a hipster.
I was in Earl Grey before it became hip.
Yeah. I mean, I was well before my car. The only thing I didn't order was, I wouldn't say Earl Grey hot, because that seemed to me redundant. Nobody was ordering iced tea in Africa. It's like you got hot tea. It's 97 degrees with 87% humidity, and you still get hot tea.
Yeah.
So it's like,
On technology. So let's talk about this.
All right. So I'm... I'm irritated at the new Apple 7, the iPhone 7, because they remove the headphone jack. And part of it is, I wanted to reach over and smack Tim Cook when he goes, we're being courageous.
Oh, yeah, people got a lot of flack for that.
Yeah, but it's, so, okay, I understand it's about the money, okay? They're always changing stuff subtly so that you get hooked. Like, from the 3 to the 4, they change... The plug that they used to have the 9-pin, and then it was down to the smaller one. Okay.
That's the lightning, right?
All right, so the lightning plug. So that's okay. So I use a lot of assisted technology.
Right. Right.
Things like that. I have a program called Blind Square, which lets me navigate around. I use VoiceOver to listen to podcasts and all kinds of stuff. So as a person with low vision or a person who's blind, this stuff is really useful. But you have to have your headsets in all the time.
Yeah.
And so, and also, all these things drain the battery like there's no tomorrow. You have to turn on Bluetooth. Sucks up battery. Blind Square, great application, but it sucks up battery like there's no tomorrow. VoiceOver sucks up battery like there's no tomorrow. So your battery, so I carry around a charger. So when my battery gets out, I take out my little external charger, plug it into the lightning port, and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to charge the phone. Well, now I've got one port. So what am I going to do? I mean, you know, yeah, I got the dongle, and I can get the dongle.
Oh, yeah, they'll sell you that jack, that adapter for $30.
No, well, no, they're putting the adapter in.
Are they?
In the box.
Okay.
Okay. But the still, point is, you still only got one port.
Yeah, you got one port now.
And the reason they put it in seemed bogus to me because they said they needed a room because now they have stereo speakers.
Yeah.
And they've got the two cameras in the back.
Right.
I'm like,
I don't.
What am I need
that's what my headphones are for.
Right, and that's.
I don't need the stereo speakers.
Okay, and if you right.
And I love good audio.
I love good audio, but I don't want to. It irritates me now when people are on the phone and they crank up their phone so loud because they're talking, and you can hear them on the bus.
And that's the first thing I thought. I was like, oh great, now we get that even louder.
Yes, and you can just get somebody who's on a train and when they hook up the Wi-Fi in the subway.
Oh, dude, that's going to be ridiculous. No, I meant because everyone's going to be sort of streaming. It's just going to be a cacophony of just mess.
And can you see all those people who are always singing to the music? At least they have their headsets in. You hear it, and it's like, oh god! But now I have to hear the music.
Now I got
to
hear
it. Especially if it's some of the hip hop with the explicit language that I don't want some little child hearing. So if you want to listen to it, that's fine.
You and your friends do it.
But
not appropriate for kids.
And it's just like, I don't want to hear it on the bus.
Yeah. Now, full disclosure, I own stock in Apple.
Hey,
now what? I can certainly say if I like some shit or not. And because I love Apple and I love Apple products, but not everything about them that I love.
Right. I don't see any reason why you shouldn't have Apple stock. The stock is doing really well. I could never buy stock because when I was working at the Times, it was a conflict of interest.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because I also wrote business stories, so I couldn't be writing about this technology that I knew was coming, and I couldn't buy stock. So I never had any stock. But that doesn't... It irritates me that...
That's a bad decision.
What? It's
a bad decision.
Okay, it's a bad decision in the short term. But here's what's going to happen is that they're going to make a Bluetooth. They've already invented these new things with a chip in it to boost the audio. But what I don't understand is if... The reason I wear my earbuds is that not only can I listen to music, I can pause it, I can answer the phone, I can, I can launch stuff by voice using the headset, the speaker.
Right.
The volume control, I can set the button so that I can either, if I'm listening to some music, I can skip to the next song or skip to the previous song.
Right.
Or if I'm listening to a podcast, I can skip to the next one on my playlist. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that. I mean, I have to keep reaching up, punching my head, or how is that going to work? You got the headsets, but what about the speaker? Or is it just everybody's got to hold the phone up?
Well, the speaker's probably going to be built into that little thing. Because it doesn't need to be here or
not.
But all the controls and stuff, like, where are they going to be?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So on the current one, the buttons are pretty easy to, they're big enough.
Right.
But what are they going to do if this thing is sticking out of my ear and it's tiny?
And there's some little buttons right there.
Yeah, where am I going to find those little, how am I going to do that?
Well,
if you got fat fingers or you're blind, I can't see it. I don't, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not going to get the iPhone 7.
Well. But see,
just ain't going to do it. No.
I've got to move up at some point because I got a 5.
I got a 5.
I'm going to hang on to it as long as I can.
I think, you know, the 6 is fine. This thing is a little big for me.
They came out with the SE, a little happy about
that. I may get that version.
They made some shortcuts. Mm-hmm. See,
although getting to 6 now would be good because it's going to be cheaper.
Yeah. But I just finished paying off my 5.